We're talking today with Deb Van Overbeck from Oklahoma State University, and one of the participants here at the Summer Cattle Industry Meetings in the presentation of the 2016 National Beef Quality Audit. This is a remarkable piece of research when you start looking at the history of it, because you've got so much information all the way back to 1991 that you've built off of. A lot of valuable stuff that we've got as a result. Seems like, Deb, that your role and how you were presenting your part of the audit findings, taking the actual findings and then helping get those out to the country.
Absolutely. So the audit is done in three phases, typically, is how we refer to it. So face-to-face interviews, the in-plant audit portion, and then phase three, that strategy workshop. So my goal in the presentation today was to present that last phase in terms of how do we take the results that we saw in phase one and phase two and actually relay that to producers as kind of a blueprint or a roadmap, if you will, on what things do we need to focus on for the next 5 years. And so you take a group of about 70 participants and try to help them look at what are those take-home messages. And so that was the goal of the strategy workshop.
You really kind of focused on maybe three takeaways that you were looking at that we need to probably work with producers on. Tell me about those.
Absolutely. Three big key strategies or key components and areas to improvement for the next 5 years. And those would be food safety and animal health. The second one being eating satisfaction and reduction of variability or variety that we see in those carcasses. And then the third, optimizing value and reducing waste.
The first area, I know that the participants along the food value chain, the beef value chain, once you get past the feedlots, they were very much focused on food safety. And it seems like that's hard sometimes to put into something tangible for a producer.
Absolutely. Food safety comes out as the leading issue or the leading ranked bucket, if you will, of where should our focus be from face-to-face interviews. And so those closest to consumers, it's food safety is most important to them in terms of ranking the issues that we looked at. When you get to a producer, it's harder to figure that out, right? So from a producer standpoint, well, what is food safety? If you look at the information from the producer survey, they define food safety as beef quality assurance, no violative residues. And obviously those things play in. From a retail food service perspective, food safety is, do we have a safe eating experience for our consumers? So there's a little bit disconnect there. But when you look at food safety, I think our biggest kind of takeaway is increasing communication between the sectors from producers to our end users and explaining to them what we are doing to help improve food safety. We've always struggled with what do we do pre-harvest to impact microbiology contamination at the end. And so, right, every hurdle, we've talked about that for years, every hurdle we put in place kind of limits more, but they don't understand that beef quality assurance does so much more than that in terms of managing health and animal handling, and all those things play into that beef quality assurance program, and they don't understand that. And so educating the end portion of the chain about BQA and then getting producers to implement that and understand what it means overall in the scope is important.
It seemed like that was a really big finding of this audit, as far as BQA needs to be championed a lot more.
It is, and that's one thing is when we looked at that first phase in those face-to-face interviews, food service, retail, further processors don't understand the concept beef quality assurance. And so to them, they do have live animal quality assurance components put in place and requirements put in place to buy product, but they never term that beef quality assurance because they've never really heard that message. And so getting that message out more from producers to packers to our end users, those that are closest to the consumer, is important, I think, is a focus for the next 5 years.
That second priority that you talked about really was going back to this idea of trying to produce an end product, a cut of meat that the retailers and food service folks can really use.
Absolutely. That second component was eating satisfaction and reduction of variety or variability. And so the first part of that, eating satisfaction, as we look at kind of the leading ranks, food safety was first, but eating satisfaction was number two. And so when we think about what that definition is, it's customer satisfaction, it's tenderness, juiciness, and flavor. And so how do you manage that? But also, how do you manage what's in a box that a retail or a food service operator or a further processor is going to get, so that they know how to deal with it? And so they've kind of given up on us not increasing carcass weights. And so that was their message for several years, is just stop increasing weights so that we can get what we know we're going to get. But now they're like, okay, can we just reduce the variability? So within a box, I don't have a 12-pound strip loin and a 20-pound strip loin, that they're all in a certain range. And so kind of reducing that variability that we see in carcasses and cuts that go further down the chain.
In your mind, how does that relate back to that producer? What does a producer need to do to be more help that achieve that goal?
That's a great question. When we think back to the strategy workshop and the discussion that focused around that, a lot of it focused around genetics. And so how can we use genetics to manage size and to manage when those cattle are marketed so that we have a more consistent product?
Third area of emphasis.
Third area of emphasis was optimizing value and reducing waste. And so one of those things that ties back to the first audit in 1991, huge focus on external fat. So not to the extent that we saw in that first audit, but yet we still have an increased number of yield grade 4s and 5s. And so how can we optimize the value of those carcasses without feeding those cattle too long that we get them as 4s and 5s in the chain when we market those?
So the idea is that we still need to really watch the fat.
Correct. Watch the fat. It goes back to the messages we've seen in the first two strategies of communication. What are the market signals going to communication? And then also using genetics to help manage what we're producing.
End of the day, this audit, how important is it to the industry?
You know, I think the audit's of huge importance and a very valuable resource that we've seen. If you look back to the issues in 1991, a lot of those top leading concerns that we saw have come off the map. One of those, for example, if you look back at the leading issues from the 91 audit, you saw injection site lesions and the huge issue in top butts. And so with beef quality assurance and producer education and some forward thinking and how do we manage those issues, we've been able to change those things. And so to me, the audit has been a tool and a great resource for the industry to kind of guide, here's what our end users are expecting and wanting, and here's what we need to do at a production system level to change those things to get them what they need.
I guess it's a continuing education tool.
Continuing education tool, and hopefully we can go back and do it again in 5 years and see where we've come.
Thanks, Deb. Dr. Deb Overbeck from Oklahoma State University talking about this National Beef Quality Audit for 2016. 25 years worth of audit history, and this 2016 audit gives us some fresh ideas about how to do a better job of meeting the needs of the consumer successfully. From the 2017 Summer Cattle Industry Set of Meetings in Denver, I'm Ron Hayes.